From NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. President Obama and other leaders of the Group of 20 Nations concluded their meeting in Toronto today with a call for a more balanced global economy.
Rules must be clear. Oversight must be strong. Complex trades, like derivatives, must be brought into the light of day. Excessive risk-taking and abusive practices must be prevented. Consumers must be protected. In short, we have to do everything in our power to avoid a repeat of the recent financial crisis.
The president says the U.S. will cut its deficit in half by 2013. And as Steve Beckner of Market News International reports, leaders of the richest industrialized nations agree more work needs to be done.
While saying past efforts to stimulate their economies have borne good results, the G20 called the recovery uneven and fragile. They declared their highest priority is to safeguard and strengthen the recovery and lay the foundation for strong, sustainable, and balanced growth. And they agreed to strengthen their financial systems. But the G20, which includes the Group of Eight industrial nations, plus emerging market countries like China, didn't see eye to eye on fiscal policy. While Germany wants to slash its budget deficit, the U.S. takes a more cautious approach. So they allowed for policies differentiated for and tailored to national circumstances. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner stressed the need for vigorous implementation of China's decision to let its currency rise against the dollar, but the communique makes no mention of that new policy. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner.
Confirmation hearings begin for President Obama's second Supreme Court nominee tomorrow. If confirmed, Elena Kagan will be the youngest justice on the court and the third woman, NPR's Ari Shapiro reports.
Since her nomination, Elena Kagan has received far less attention than other news stories, such as the BP oil spill or Afghanistan. But she could serve on the Supreme Court for decades, and her impact could be one of President Obama's longest legacies. Part of the reason there has not been more attention paid to her is that no dramatic smoking gun has emerged to derail her nomination. The Clinton Presidential Library released hundreds of thousands of pages related to her work at the White House in the 1990s. Those documents showed a politically savvy operative with sharp elbows, but no massive revelations. Republicans plan to ask whether Kagan can set aside her political experience to be an impartial judge. Democrats will use the venue to criticize some of the Supreme Court's most recent sweeping conservative decisions. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.
Pope Benedict XVI says the raids on the Belgian Bishops' Conference are surprising and deplorable. The bishops were held for hours on June 24th as police investigated sex abuse by priests. It's the first time the Pope has commented on the raids. The pontiff says justice must take its course, but he says the church has a right to investigate alongside civil law enforcement authorities. This is NPR News. Democratic Senator Robert Byrd, the longest-serving member of Congress, is in the hospital. NPR's Allison Keyes has the details.
The 92-year-old West Virginia Democrat was admitted to a Washington-area hospital late last week, according to a statement from his office. It was believed that he was suffering from heat exhaustion and severe dehydration because of the extreme temperatures. At that time, he wasn't expected to have to stay for more than a few days. But the statement says on further examination by his doctors, other conditions have developed, and his physicians are describing his condition as seriously ill. Byrd began his career as a lawmaker in 1952 with a stint in the House. 6 years later, he moved on to the Senate. He has had health challenges in recent years and was hospitalized three times in 2009. He has cast over 18,000 votes and has almost a 98% attendance record over the course of his career. Allison Keyes, NPR News, Washington.
Alex has been downgraded. It's now a tropical depression in the Gulf of Mexico. But the storm is expected to regain strength in the coming days as it moves over warmer waters and possibly become a hurricane headed toward Mexico's Caribbean coast. As the storm crossed Belize and Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula overnight, torrential downpours forced hundreds of tourists to flee to the resort islands. At least four people died in the region. When Alex became the first named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season, the focus was on the effect it would have on the Gulf oil spill. But for now, the storm appears likely to miss the area where workers are trying to stop the oil leak. But workers from the National Hurricane Center in Miami warn the storm's track can quickly change. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News in Washington.